Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We are here live on the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network. Yes, we are here and we are live. This is the show that gets your weekend started off right. This is the show where the gospel is told and not sold, y'all. We are here. If you're listening to me right now, it is Saturday. It is a beautiful, beautiful Saturday. I don't know wherever you're listening to me at, whether it be on the West Coast, the East Coast, Canada, and worldwide. We send blessings your way in Jesus' name. And if you're listening to me right now, you are blessed. And it is not because you're listening to my voice on today. I was going to say anointed voice, but if you're listening to me right now, it's not because you're hearing my voice, but if you're hearing my voice, you are in the land of the living, and that is a reason to give God praise on today. We have a phenomenal, phenomenal show for you today because we are going to be talking about something that is encouraging today. I want to encourage everybody today. And in encouragement, we hear in the word, we hear a lot of preachers try to, forcefully tell the word of God. And, I don't want to seem like this show is beating people across the head with the word. That's not what we're here for. We're not here to bash. We're not here to, do none of that. We are here to preach the word of God. So today we're going to encourage the people on today. This topic today, man, is titled, "This Too Shall Pass From You." This too shall pass from you. I know that we're going through some things. I know that we as people, we go through day-to-day life struggles. And I understand that all of us, I don't care if you're a man, woman, boy, or girl, I don't care what age bracket you are in, I don't care what religion you are, or denomination you are, I don't care what color or creed you are, we all go through something, amen. And so want to encourage you all to just tell you guys, this too shall pass from you. And even if you're not going through anything right now, maybe you're in a season of bliss right now. Maybe you're in a season of blessings right now where nothing is going wrong. All the bills are paid. Children are acting right. And everything's going your way right now. You're receiving blessings on top of blessings. But remember, there will be a season where you're going to have to go through some tests and trials. We do not go through this life without going through tests or trials. Amen. So this word might be for you later. Amen. On today, we praise God for our founder and our leader, Bishop Shalene Cook, founding the Spirit Alive Network. In Jesus' name, we give her honor. The Bible does say, give honor to whom honor is due, in Jesus' name. So we give her honor on today. I also want to say I was not here last week, and y'all know why, because I celebrated my 34th birthday on last Sunday, and the Lord has been good to me, and this is one of the reasons why we're doing this topic on today, because during my life and in my life, I have been through a lot of tests and trials and struggles and things like that, and the Lord has blessed me to come out and bring me this far. And like I said, the Lord will never leave you. He said he'll never leave us, never forsake us, in Jesus' name. And he means what he says. When he says it in the word, whatever he put in this word, he means every jot, tiller, letter, every letter that is written, every word that is said, he means it. Amen. So I want you to remember that whatever you're going through right now, this too shall pass from you. And it shall pass. We don't know when. We don't know when it's going to pass. But the songwriter says trouble don't last always. Amen. The Bible also says weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. That means you might be in your night season, and you might be weeping, and you might be saying, Lord, where are you? Where I don't understand. I'm going through all of this. I'm going through all of that. But where are you? This too shall pass from you, because God, in his eyesight on your life and on my life and on other people's lives, he wants to see us blessed. Amen. He wants to see us walking upright before him. He will not, and the Bible says that, no good thing would he withhold from us. Amen. There's no good thing that he would withhold from us, the people that walk upright before him, especially the ones. Now, the ones that he said in his word that he reigns over the just and the unjust. Amen. So he gives blessings to whomever he wants to. Amen. Amen. That's why he gave us liberty to give him praise. Amen. The praises of God activate your belief in him. Amen. And I'm going as the Spirit of the Lord leads me. Your praise, because this is not in my notes, y'all. The praises of God, and this is for the sinner man. This is for the sanctified man, the sanctified woman, the sinner woman, whatever. Your praise activates God. In the midst of you going through, your praise. And the reason why I say your praise activates God, because the Bible says that let everything that has breath praise the Lord. What do we mean by that? That means that every single person can praise the Lord. Amen? The elements praise the Lord. The snow that comes down. I don't know if y'all, I don't know where, what part of the world you're in, so you may not have any snow, but the rain praises the Lord. Amen? The sun praises the Lord. Amen? When the sun is shining, it's praising him. The dogs and the cats, they praise the Lord. The birds, they praise the Lord. So every living thing can praise the Lord. As long as you have life in your body, you can praise him. And in the midst of your praise, he said he dwells in the midst of praises. That means he is moved by your praise. That's why we can say, this too shall pass from us. This too shall pass. It's not going to last like this always. Whatever you are going through, it's not going to always be this way. Amen. Psalms 23 is a very founded scripture or verses that tells us how God feels about our problems. Amen. Everybody on the face of the earth knows Psalms 23. Amen. Matter of fact, let's go there real quick. Let's go there. Let's go to Psalms 23. Let's go to Psalms 23. Everybody should know Psalms 23. Amen. And it's a very well-known passage of Scripture, and it's a very powerful passage of Scripture. And we hear there's two scriptures that both the saved and the unsaved, quote, a lot. And that's Psalms 23, and that's John 3:16. Amen. Those are the two scriptures that that a lot of people quote. They have it written on magnets and different things. But we're gonna read that. We're gonna read Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. Let's stop right there. The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. This means that, hey, I'm letting you know that everything that you need, and this is David praising the Lord. Psalms is the book of praise. Amen. Psalms is the book of praise. David, all through the book of Psalms, was praising the Lord. He was giving the Lord praise. Look, watch this. Back then, in the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost had not fell on people. The Holy Ghost, Jesus hadn't even appeared on the scene yet. Amen? So there was no Holy Ghost to be given out. So what we know to be filled with the Holy Ghost today, in this day and hour, David was saved by faith. Amen? David was saved by his faith. Amen? And he was delivered by his faith. He knew that God was able to deliver him out of everything that he went through. And David was the apple of God's eye. But in the book of Psalms, he's praising God all through the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is the book of praise, and what it does, it moves us to a level. It gets our mindset to a level of I don't, what I'm looking at right now is not what it's going to be in the end. That's what praise does. That's what praise is supposed to do. Praise does two things in this in the season that we're living in. Praise does two things. It elevates you, and it moves God. So your praise activates God to move for you, so you won't be in that place that you're in. That's why we can say, this too shall pass from you, but you just have to believe what God said. He gave when God put it in David's heart to write the book of Psalms, he gave us a blueprint on praise, on a blueprint on what to do in the midst of us going through the test and the trial. We have to praise him. We have to praise him. We have to give him praise. We have to give him glory. We have to give him honor. Despite what we might go through, we have to learn, we have to know in the back of our minds, hey, this too shall pass from us. This too shall pass from you. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a health issue. I don't care if it's a mental issue. I don't care if it's a family issue. I don't care what it is. There is no addiction. There is no curse. There is nothing that God cannot do. There is nothing that God cannot break. There is no addiction that God cannot break. There is nobody that he cannot save. Come on here. But we have to believe. Some of us, sometimes, the reason why we're not coming out of the situation as fast as we should is because we are not believing. Uh-oh. We do not believe. We believe that God can cure a headache. We believe God can cure a toeache. But we can't believe that God can cure cancer. Uh-oh. Well, Minister Tuggle, there is no cure for cancer. Oh, yes, there is. The doctors may say that there is no cure for cancer, but I know the cure. Once we get it down in our mind that this too shall pass, we have to not only say it to ourselves, but we have to believe it. We have to believe it so much that nobody can deny us. Nobody can pull it out of our minds that God is able to do it. I'm coming out of this thing. I'm coming out of this thing no matter what it looked like, no matter what I'm faced with, no matter who I have to go through, no matter what devil I have to fight, I'm coming out of this thing. I'm coming out of this thing. This is the mentality that we have to have. This is the mentality that we have to have. One of my favorite people in the Bible was Job, and I talk about Job a lot. Y'all hear me talk about Job a lot. And I want you guys to interact with us on today. Interact with us. Call in. Tell us your testimony. Call in. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. I will gladly try to answer those questions as the Lord gives me the answers. Amen. Because I ain't going to answer no questions off the top of my head. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to let the Lord lead me on answering questions. Amen. But when we go through the valley, when we're in the valley, what we have to remember is this. What we have to remember is this, is that God is able and that he will not fail. We know that God can do anything. God can do any and everything. We know this. There are only two things that God cannot do. You say, what? Well, how can you say that, Mr. Tuggle? You just said God can do anything. What do you mean God can't do? There's two things that God can't do. There's two things that God can't do. There's two things that God can't do and will never do. And that's lie and fail. He won't lie and he won't fail you. That's the only two things that God cannot do. Amen? So when he promised us. In Psalms 23, he made a promise unto us. The Lord is my shepherd. What is a shepherd? A shepherd is a person that is a covering over the sheep. He's a covering. That shepherd is a covering over its sheep. And we are the sheep. And he is the shepherd. God is the shepherd. And he makes sure that his sheep, even though they, you know, shepherds, when they are watching over the sheep, some of the sheep go astray. They try to leave out of where the shepherd put them, and they try to leave out. Even if you try to go astray, even if sometimes you might go astray, the Lord will still cover you because guess what? The Bible says he chastens who he loves. A shepherd loves its sheep so much that it will go out and leave the 99 and go after that one. And even if it has to break the legs of that sheep so it won't go astray again, it'll break its legs so it won't go astray. And sometimes God has to break our spiritual legs to make sure that we won't go off again. Sometimes he has to give out that spiritual whooping out of love just to show, hey, look, because sometimes what we go through is not just problems. Sometimes it's us. Sometimes we got to be delivered from us. Sometimes we got to look ourselves in the mirror and say, wait a minute, this problem is not from this person or that person or this problem or that problem. This problem is because of me. I caused it. Lord, help me to deal with it. Lord, deal with me. Because sometimes what we're going through in life, sometimes some of the things that we are going through in life, we sometimes cause them. Even in sanctification. I'm not even just talking about the unsaved, because people might say, well, oh, he's talking about the unsaved. No, I'm not just talking about the unsaved. I'm talking about the saved too, because some saved people, they cause problems for themselves because they don't allow the Lord to do what he do. We want to step out. Uh-oh, I said I wasn't going to beat nobody today. But you know what? I am going to beat me a devil today. I ain't going to beat a person, but I'm going to kill me a devil today because I'm going to expose the devil today. Some of us go through problems because of the fact we need to be delivered from ourselves. We need to be delivered from that past hurt. It's not nothing. Look, some of that stuff is not nothing you've done. And I'm not calling myself trying to prophesy on nobody, But some of this stuff that's going on, it's not because of us. It's because we let – it's not because of us per se, but it is because of us. Because we have allowed that hurt and that pain to sit there in our spirit, and we haven't dealt with it. And sometimes this too shall pass. It will only pass when we deal with it, when we deal with the hurt, when we take that hurt to the Lord and say, Lord, deliver me. Some of us ain't told the Lord to deliver us, but we asking the Lord to deliver our brother, deliver our mother, deliver our father, save our wife, save our husband, save this person, save that person. And we ain't asking the Lord to save us. And sometimes we need help. Lord, help me. Help me help. Help me help me so I can help somebody else. Help me. Help me. I don't care if it's, I don't care how you say it. It could sound so messed up. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me. Because some of us need help. There is no time in life where we don't need any help. You're going to go through life and need help. I'm going to go through life and need help. Everybody need help. Everybody. I don't care if you're saved or unsaved. I don't care if you're the most righteous, holiest person in the world. I don't care if you've done nothing wrong. I don't care if you've been a goody-goody-two-shoes all your life. I don't care if you've been the worst of the worst. Everybody needs some help every now and then. Some of us need to ask the Lord to help us. Help so that we can come out. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. That's why he said. That's why David said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's why he's here to help us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Look, when the storms of life are raging, when the storms of life are raging, he can lead us. That's why the Lord says, I created you a path. I've created you. I know this is why I preached a sermon one time, and it was called Your Life Is Not Your Own. And in that sermon, the Lord had me tell the people that he goes through our life. The Lord goes through our life twice. He goes through our life once without us and once with us. When I say he goes through our life, it doesn't literally mean he walks through our life. Now, he walks with us and he talks with us. But that first time he goes through our life, he's creating our life. He goes through. He knows every nook. He knows every cranny of our life. He knows every turn. He knows every left turn, every right turn, every straight way. Every time you're going to be hit with a problem, he knows about it. Before you were even thought of, he knew about you. He knew about me. He knew about it. Amen? He knew about it. He knew about it before you even knew about it. That's why he says in his word, he knows our thoughts even before what? We think them. But that's how we get to the power of God, because God knows us better than we know ourselves. That's how we are able. That's why we should allow God to lead us. He is a spiritual GPS in our lives so that we can get to that place of this too shall pass. How do you think it's going to pass? Because God is leading us. He's leading us out. I've said this on the show millions and millions of times, probably every single show. I don't know. But I've said it like this. I've quoted the poem Footprints, and we all know that poem about the man who was going through the storms of life. He was going through, before the storm of life came, he was going through and he saw two sets of footprints. And then when the storms of life came, he only saw one set of footprints. And at the end of the storm, he asked God, where was he? Because he only saw one set of footprints. And God told him, he said, wait a minute. Sir, when you were going through your storm, and I'm paraphrasing y'all, when you were going through your storm and you saw that one set of footprints, that wasn't your footprints. Them were not yours. That was me carrying you through the storm. That was me carrying you. That was me. That was the Lord. That was God Almighty. Amen. He was carrying us, and he's been carrying us through every since we were born. Well, how do I know he's been carrying me? There's some time where I pray and I ask God, and God don't answer me. That's because he don't answer. Don't mean he ain't carrying you. Don't mean he's not hearing you either. Sometimes God works in silence, because silence is the best teacher sometimes. You ever heard a saying, do things in silence? Do things in silence. Do not let, I believe it's in, there's a scripture, I forget where it is. It said, do not let your left hand know what your right hand doeth. Amen. But God does not always work the same way that he worked the last situation now. God might work it out another way. He might do it in silence. He might tell you, go here, go there. He might tell you through the bishop. He might tell you through the pastor. He might tell you from the pulpit. He might tell you in a still, small voice. But every single time, you might say, well, God didn't hear. Yes, he did. He heard you. And just because you're not out yet does not mean he did not hear you, and does not mean that he's not going to deliver you. Amen? Understand this. I want you to understand this. God is not, first of all, we have to understand as people, God is not a Santa Claus. Uh-oh. We, as people, we treat God like a Santa Claus. Some of us treat God like a Santa Claus. We always ask God for everything. Every time we go on our knees or every time we praying, we asking God for stuff. Mainly natural stuff. Cars, clothes, houses, businesses, and all that. Sometime what we need to start doing as people of God and as people in general, we have to start asking. There's two things we need to start doing. There's two things in our prayer life. There's two things we need to start doing more of. One, we need to start asking God, what does he want from us? And number two, we have to ask him, what does he want from us? You might say, well, you just repeated yourself. Sometimes he wants to just to see if you acknowledge him. Ask him what he wants from us. We ain't got to always ask for stuff. And there is a third thing. Sometimes don't always ask when you are in the midst of your asking for things from the Lord. Don't always ask for natural stuff. Ask for spiritual stuff. Ask for more love. Ask for more wisdom. Better watch what you say when you ask for it. Watch what you say, because I'm going to tell you now, once you ask for more wisdom and more peace and more, you know, all of this, you best be ready for a test to come after it. Because God just don't – let me show y'all something. See, the Lord works – we know the Lord works in mysterious ways. But what God does not do, he does not just drop the – if you – somebody asks for wisdom, just say, Lord, I want more wisdom. Lord is not just going to – boom, wisdom. You best believe. As well as you hear me now, if you ask for wisdom, and I'm just using the wisdom as an example, if you ask for wisdom, I guarantee you, I will give you my whole paycheck if you don't do it. You can guarantee you that there's going to be a test right after you ask. May not come right then and there, as soon as you ask, but I guarantee you somewhere down the line, there's a test going to come where you have to use wisdom. And that's where you gain the spiritual things. You want more prayer. You want a better prayer life. Where you going to have to go through something to pray. Uh-oh. The Lord might lay it on your heart to pray for somebody. Come on here. The Lord had laid it on my heart to go see a friend of my family's. And I'm glad I did when I did. And the Lord had me go over to this person's house. Come to find out that they went through a test in their life. They lost a loved one. And the loved one that they lost, I've known this person since I was a child. Actually, this person used to help watch me as a child. Amen. And now they're gone. The mother and the father are going through it. And I was able to sit with them and talk to them and encourage them for a little bit. And I'm glad I listened to the voice of the Lord. There are times in your life where God will have you do things. If you ask for something, God will put you in a place where you can receive it, but sometimes it's not. He does not just drop. Like he dropped. It's not going to come that way, especially if you're asking for spiritual stuff. It's not going to come that way. I'm telling you now, it's not going to come that way. You're going to have to go through some stuff. Much is given, much is required. Amen. There are so many people. There are some people that say, "Well, Lord, make me a better witness." Okay. Well, he puts people in your path to witness to them, and the Lord says, the Lord puts it down in your spirit to go witness to somebody, and then you start getting scared. Lord, I don't think that was you, because last time I tried to witness to them, they act like they didn't want to even hear me. They act like they didn't even. And then the Lord puts it down in your spirit to witness to them, and you say, "Nah, I'm not gonna do that." You know, look, let me show y'all something. Number one, because some people think, okay, well, that's the Lord done told you to witness to somebody. And you say, no, that's just me. That's just my flesh. That's just the devil telling me to witness to them. That ain't the devil. That's not the devil. The devil would never tell you to witness to anybody about the Lord. Number two, the devil will never tell you to do anything right for the kingdom of God. It ain't going to happen. You never seen it in the word of, you never read it in the word of God. You'll never see it now. Just as well as you're listening to me now, just as well as you hear my voice, I'm being so serious about this thing. The devil will never, ever tell you to witness to anybody or do anything good for the Lord. I'm telling you that now. He will tell you to do the things that he wants you to do and do the things of the flesh. Sometimes your flesh will tell you to do the things of the flesh, but it will never tell you to do the things of God. Because your flesh will never tell you to do the things of God either. Your flesh will tell you to do the things of the flesh. And the reason why your flesh won't tell you to do things of the flesh are the things of God, because the spirit and the flesh war against itself daily. And when I say the flesh, I'm not talking about skin and bone. I'm talking about your mindset. The devil's greatest battlefield is our mind. That's why sometimes we can't come out of what we need to come out of, because we're battling in our minds. We did a show, about a month or two ago. My parents were on the show, and we did a show on depression, the battle of the mind. And in that show, we talked about depression. The reason why people go through depression sometimes is because it's a battle in their mind. That's why the Bible says put on the whole armor of God. Put on the helmet of salvation. That protects your mind. In the midst of coming out, in the midst of this too shall pass from you, when you find yourself coming out, the devil will fight you as hard as he can. If he sees you coming out of something, the devil's going to fight you. The devil's not going to let you go easy. The devil's not going to let you go easy, neither will the enemy, neither will demons. Nope. And neither will your problems either. Your problems ain't going to let you go that easy. It's a struggle and it's a fight, because life is a fight. Life is a fight. Living life, that's why I said, there was an old cartoon, and everybody knows this cartoon, called Spider-Man. And Spider-Man's uncle, well, Peter Parker is better known as Spider-Man. Anybody that watches that, you know. But he was raised by his uncle. And his uncle told him before he became Spider-Man, he said, with great power comes great responsibility. With the power that you have to fight out of your mess, to fight out of that test, to fight out of that trial, the power that God gives us, there is going to be much requirement. There's going to be a lot of fighting. There's going to be much fight. But you got to learn, and we got to understand, and I ain't even going to say you. I'm going to say we. We got to understand that this too shall pass if we fight. Some of us, we sit there and we let the enemy beat us up, and we let the enemy drag us around, and we let the enemy do this and do that. Why? Why do we do it? And then we give the excuse of, well, I'm not perfect. Oh, I'm not perfect. We all sin daily. You ain't got to. The Lord has given us power. The Bible says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have what? Power. Well, how do I know that says that Acts 1:8? Acts 1:8 tells us that. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's songs all over the place. There's power in the blood. There's power in the name of Jesus. I guarantee you, demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Sometimes we got to fight to get out of this. We got to fight. We got to fight. We got to fight the good fight of faith. And in fighting for our lives, we have to believe, we have to have the faith that God's going to deliver us, that God's going to bring us out. Amen? That's why he said in Psalms 23 at the beginning verse, and I ain't even read all of it, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, which means he's going to be our covering. He's going to be our covering. He's going to be our covering. But in the midst of him being our covering, we sometimes, in the midst of fighting, in the midst of waiting, because waiting is a fight too, believe it or not, waiting is a fight. Come on here. Waiting is one of the hardest things to do, is wait. Waiting is one of the hardest things to do. But if you have the power of God, you can wait. Job did it, and Job didn't even have the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm going to wait for my, what, change to come. Despite what I go through, the three Hebrew boys, they waited for their change to come. They waited to be delivered. David waited. And everything that David went through, he waited on God. We got so many people in the Bible that waited on the change. The people in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, they waited. They waited for the Holy Ghost. But the one thing they had, all these people had in common, even though they were in different areas of the Bible, all these different people in the Bible, they all had one thing in common. They had faith. And they waited. In the midst of it, in the midst of their wait, they had faith and they had power enough to believe that God was able to deliver. Despite what they were facing. And guess what? They were faced with a lot. They were faced with a lot. The woman with the issue of blood was faced with a lot. I could just about imagine her being told, well, that's not going to be a deliverance. That's not going to deliver you. I've given you this. I've given you that. You might as well just go ahead. Job's wife told, why don't you curse God and die? There are so many people. There are many people going through that right now, going through that same scenario right now. They got people in their life telling them, no, you don't. It don't take all that. It don't take all this and that. It takes all that and more, honey. It takes all that and more. It takes all of that and more, man. It takes all of that and more, woman of God. It takes all of that and more, man of God. It takes all of that and more. And when you look at your life at the end of it, once you've waited, once you fought, once you pressed your way, the Bible says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Once I've pressed through, once I've fought my way through, Gideon fought, and he didn't even fight. Gideon fought and didn't even fight. You might say, well, how did Gideon fight and he didn't even fight? What do you mean? He fought. See, look, watch this. He could have not listened to God, because I know he was up against. I could just imagine what Gideon was up against in his mind, just his mindset. Okay, Lord, you're breaking down my men. And at the end of it, he only had 300 to fight against the Midianite army. And the Midianite army was a big army. Amen. But Gideon never wavered. He never wavered in his faith. He stood flat, firm-footed, and said, look, I'm going to wait. I'm going to see what God has to say. And that's what we need to do sometimes. Sometimes we don't need to ask for things. That's why I said he asked God what he wanted him to do. And guess what? Sometimes in coming out in this too shall pass from us, sometimes we need to ask God what to do. God, what do you want for me to do to get me out of this thing? Sometimes we ask God to bring us out, but we don't ask God, what do you want me to do to get up and get me out of this thing? Gideon was asking God on what to do. See, and I love this. See, I put real life, because this is real life. I put life's troubles today, blend it in with the Bible, because there's nothing new up under the sun. Everything that's going on now went on back then. Only difference is that we got cars and internet. Amen. That's the only difference. And the people are getting smarter, and the generation are waxing worse and worse. That's the only difference. But everything else, it's the same cycle. Amen. But in this life, we have to understand that we must understand that in life, we have to have a strategy. I remember the movie called War Room. And in that movie, it was talking about the woman. The woman had problems with her husband, and she didn't know how to get out of those problems. But the one thing that she was taught by the lady that was teaching her how to pray, she said, she told her, when you go and fight for your husband, have a battle strategy. You can have a prayer strategy. Have a strategy before you go into battle. Ask God what that strategy, what strategy do you want me to have in this problem to get me out of this? And I want you to write this down. Write this down. If you're near a pen and a piece of paper or a tablet or whatever, write this down. Always have a strategy, number one, because you never, ever want to go through something without a strategy. But what if it hits me off the – what if it hits me out of nowhere? You can still have a strategy. The first – let me tell you something. There are three things that you can do in the midst of you going through something. And at the beginning, the first thing you do is – If you get hit with it, plead the blood. Write this stuff down. Write it down. Plead the blood of Jesus. Cover it with the blood first. Cover the thing with the blood first. Because in the Old Testament, and the reason why I say cover it with the blood first is because in the Old Testament, Moses was told to cover the blood. Cover the doorpost with the blood. Amen. In the Bible, in the Word of God, he said, "Well, I see the blood, I shall pass over thee." Amen. And this was the Lord talking to Moses. So the Lord, where he sees his blood being established, when you plead the blood of Jesus, he will pass over you. I said it earlier, the praise activates God. Well, pleading the blood of Jesus activates God too. Calling on his name activates him. So when you say the blood of Jesus, not the blood of goats and bullocks, not the blood of, because there's no power in it. Not the blood of Adam Tuggle. No. Mm-mm. See, my blood don't work. But when you plead the blood of Jesus and you call on the name of Jesus, that activates God for your situation. Number two, you want to seek God in the midst of the problem. There's a lot of people that start off when they see the problem, they plead the blood and then they just stop. They just say, the blood of Jesus. They don't ask God anything. They just plead the blood, and they don't talk to God. They either wait for God to work it out, or what they do is they let the devil beat them up, and they don't do anything. But start when you get the chance. Pray, seek God, seek him. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be what? Added unto you. So if you're ready to, if you want to come out of a situation, and that situation that you are, is in your face, the first thing you do is plead the blood. The second thing you do in your strategy is talk to the Lord. See what he wants you to do. The third thing you need to do is stay in the Word. Seek out. Look, there is nothing, there is no problem that the Word of God does not have an answer for. You might say, well, the Bible can't, because I understand there are people that might say, well, Mr. Tuggle, the Bible doesn't have an answer for everything. Oh, yes, it does. You can go, look, and there's nothing wrong with getting people's books and stuff. Nothing wrong with it. But I would rather go to the book. And there's nothing wrong, like I said, there's nothing wrong with going to people's books and buying people's books and strategizing. I understand that. Especially spiritual books, but you need to watch that too. Because everybody that says everybody cries, Lord, Lord, ain't going to heaven. Amen. That's another topic for another day. But when you go to the Word of God and you look for scriptures that fit your problem, look for people in the Bible that sort of either went through that problem or sort of close to that problem, so you can strategize. Amen? So that you'll know what to do in that situation. And then that was number three. Number four, you want to seek godly counsel. Seek godly counsel. And when I mean godly counsel, I don't mean telling your business all over the church. I don't mean telling Sister So-and-so. Mainly go to your pastor or your bishop or whoever. Amen. Go to your pastor. Let them know so that they can pray with you. Amen. So that you'll have somebody in your corner praying for you. Seek godly counsel. So that you know, you can get another thought on what to do. Because the answer might come through your pastor. The answer, like I said, God don't answer the same way he answered your last problem. He might answer a whole different way. Amen? So seek godly counsel. Seek your pastor. Seek your bishop. Seek whoever your leader is, seek your leader. And if you can't get to your leader, if you go to a big church or whatever, if you can't seek your leader, set up a meeting with that leader and try to seek that leader as best you can so you can give a godly counsel. Amen? And number five, praise your way through that thing. Praise your way through, because God moves faster when you're praising him in the midst of your problems. All 34 years of my life, I have praised God through every problem that I have been through. I'm going to say it again. I have praised God through every problem I have been through. I've praised him through every problem. Because I know that my praise activates God. It moves him. He said he dwells in the midst of praises. If he dwells in the midst of praises, that means he's moved. He's there in the midst of what I'm going, and I'm praising him while I'm going through. He's there in the midst of what I'm going through. He's right there. You're protected. Amen. That's why I praise him. That's why I give him the glory. That's why I give him the honor. Amen. That's why I give him the praise. Because I want to be delivered. And in the midst of you praising him, keep the faith. Keep the faith. Because when you keep the faith, that's also telling God, hey, look, Lord, I believe what you're telling me. I believe I'm going to come out this thing. I believe my, if you, especially when you're going through, because the reason why we go through problems, I'm going to tell you this right now. We go through problems for two reasons. For ourselves and for other people. We go through problems. I'm going to say it again. We go through problems for two reasons. We go through issues for two reasons, for ourselves and for other people. You might say, well, what do you mean I go through problems for me and other people? I don't go through problems for other people. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. The Bible says we're a book to be read by all men. Our problems. Some people might know what you're going through. Some people may not. Those that do know what you're going through, they're watching you. And how you handle that. Especially if you're calling yourself a child of God. How you handle that issue and how you handle that problem activates their faith or lowers their faith on how you handle it. That's why you go through problems for other people. And you go through it for yourself because it activates. When you go through it and you come out, you know, number one, God is able. That gives you a testimony, and it also activates your faith. So you go through it for yourself, and you go through it for other people. That's the two reasons that the Lord gave me in my studying and in my life. The Lord showed me that there's only two reasons why we go through problems in our lives, for ourselves and other people. Because there's always somebody watching you. They may not know everything that goes on in your life, but there's always somebody watching you. And those that watch you want to see if you're going to either lose your mind or you're going to let God calm the storm. Are you going to let God be what he says he is? Are you going to let God be the master of that storm? You're going to let the master... In the words of my former pastor, she preached a sermon one time, master still the storm. You're going to let the master still the storm. Amen. You're going to let him still the storm? Are you going to let that storm take you over? See, when Jesus and the disciples were on that ship, Jesus was down at the bottom of that ship asleep. Now, the difference between them and us that have the Holy Ghost is that, number one, the bad part about that, the good thing about us is that we got him on the inside of us. The bad part about that with them was that they had Jesus on board with them. They were walking with him, literally walking with him. Amen? And they still had lack of faith. They still had lack of faith. They still lacked the faith. And they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And I can just imagine Jesus just looking at him like, wait a minute. First of all, where is your faith? Just because I'm naturally asleep don't mean I'm asleep. I hear you. And it's mind-boggling that you might say, well, the Lord was naturally asleep. He couldn't hear anything. He's the Lord. He could hear. And I could just about rest assure you that Jesus heard that storm in the natural. Because some of us that sleep, we hear stuff in our sleep. Amen? Because when I'm asleep, if I hear something, I get up about 2-3 times a night in the night. Not because I'm restless, not because I'm, you know, tossing and turning, but sometimes I'll just get up just to check on my children. Or because I heard my sons move or something, and I want to check it out. Amen. Just make sure that it better be safe than sorry. I don't know. Sometimes my kids, they roll. I've had one of my kids rolled so much that they rolled out the bed. So, amen. So, And I went in and picked him up and put him in the bed, put him back in the bed. Amen. This stuff happens, you know. But the thing that we have to understand is that God is always there. He never leaves us. He never takes a break. He never takes a vacation. This too shall pass from us. Amen. This too shall pass from us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9, it talks about how God feels about us. It tells us, the Lord has up front told us how he feels about us and our problems. He cares enough. Amen. It tells us. Matter of fact, I'm going to read it to you. 1 Corinthians. And write these scriptures down. Psalms 23, Acts 1 and 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Amen. Write these scriptures down. It reads, "But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that what? Love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yet the deep things of God." I like verse 9 because it says, "But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man." See, that's why I can relate to Job. That's why I can relate to the woman with the issue of blood. That's why I can relate to Gideon. That's why I can relate to the three Hebrew boys. That's why I can relate to the people in the Bible. That's why I can relate to the disciples. That's why I can relate to John. That's why I can relate. Because people don't understand. I can relate to the people. I can relate to the people that were there in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Because when they came out of that upper room, them people were walking around like they were drunk. And the people that saw them, they didn't understand it. They didn't understand it. How can you be so filled up with joy? The Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't understand why people were following Jesus so much. They didn't understand it. That's why the Bible says, "Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, that which God has prepared for them that love him." Man may not understand why you're praising God in the midst of your problems. Man may not understand why you're able to smile through the pain. Man may not be able to understand. Friends, family may not be able to understand why you're taking a stand for God so hard. They sitting over there telling you it don't take all that. It don't take all that. And some sanctified folks will tell you it don't take all that anymore. But you stand foot flatted and tell them it does. It takes me going to the house of God. The people that say, "Oh, I don't have to have a relationship. I don't have to go to church to have a relationship with God. I don't have to go to the church to pray. I don't have to go to the church." Look, I said this on my podcast. It does take all that and more. The Lord never, look, what we want from God, that God wants the same love in return. The love that the Lord gives us, he wants that same love in return. He does not want a one-sided relationship with you. Or me, for that matter. He wants a relationship that is give and take. It's a give and take relationship. And I hate it when people say, when some of these people say, I don't have to go to church to have a relationship with God. That's not what the Bible said. The Lord, I hear people say, well, I can pray at my house. I can read my Bible at my house. I can do this at my house. And you can. That's true. That's true. That's all true. All of that's true. You can pray. The Lord wants you to pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. I agree with you. I agree. Everything you're saying is true, except I don't have to go to church to have a relationship with God. That's the only thing I disagree with. And the reason why I disagree with people that say that is because, number one, the Bible tells us to go to church. The Bible lets us know that we should be in the house of God, number one. Number two, the Bible declares that we should be in the house of God. And I say it like this. Like I said earlier, God does not want a one-sided relationship. God does not want a one-sided relationship. What he wants from us is a give and take. He gives us, we give to him. He gives to us, we give to him. It's not a one-sided relationship. How is it that we always want God to come to our house, but we never go to his? Oops. Uh-oh. Somebody just got messed up over that. Somebody just got messed up over that. We don't have to go to church to have a relationship with God. That's not what he said. He said for us to, that he would dwell in the midst, that he dwells in the midst of praises. Yes. That he's there for, that he'll never leave us, never forsake us. Yes, he did say that. But he also said, forsake not the assembly of the brethren. Ooh. Uh-oh. Forsake not the assembly of the brethren, which means come to the house of God. Come to the house of God. I understand. And my uncle used to say that he used to say that the church was his hospital. There is so much more that you can find in the house of God than you sitting at home. Uh-oh. Come on now. I'm going to repeat it again. There is so much that you can find in the house of God than you sitting at home. You have so much distractions at home than you do at church. You can find joy in the house of the Lord. You can find peace in the house of the Lord. You can find the contentment in the house of the Lord. You can find a praise in the house of the Lord. The testimonies that are given, you can't find that at home. Well, I can watch a church service online. I understand online is all right and okay, but there's nothing like being in the house. There's nothing like being in the house. Or I can watch a TV minister. There's nothing like being in the house of God. He said, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You could be set free being in the house of the Lord. We're almost out of time, but I wanted to give y'all something to reflect on over the week. I wanted to give y'all something to reflect over all of the week because we're going to be tested and tried, and I don't know whether or not if you're going to go through a trial on this week. I don't know. I'm not the Lord. I don't know. But if you are, or if you're going through a test right now, I'm just here to encourage you today that every single person that is going through or will go through, this too shall pass from you. And let it be known that when you're going through, to count it all joy. 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 Count it all joy, y'all. Because when you count it all joy, no matter what you're faced with, count it all joy. No matter if your children acting up, count it all joy. You want your family member saved? Count it all joy. You want people to be delivered in your house. You want your best friend saved? Count it all joy. I'm telling you now, count it all joy. Remember who delivered you. He brought you out of that last problem. So why won't he bring you out of this? We have to, that's why the songwriter says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. Why do you think that you go through the test? I'm going to show y'all this. Why do you think you go through a test? Why do you think you go through a test? Why? Because with that test, and you go through that test, once you go through that test, then you have, and you go through that test as a strong soldier, as a soldier of faith, you go through that test, and then you find out, hey, God brought me through that. Now you got something to think back on. Now you got a testimony to tell people. Now you got something to, he brought me through that. And I thought that problem was big. Oh, I thought I wasn't going to make it through. That next problem you go through, that might be a flower bed of bees compared to the last problem you went through. He brings back, look, he's setting you up for reminders. Uh-huh. He's giving you, you know how in the, this live stream on TVs and stuff that they got, you remember the DVRs that they used to have on the cable that you could record shows and go back and watch them? You know, you couldn't watch it live, but you can record and rewatch it and you could either watch it live right then and there and record it so you can go back and rewatch it again, or if you wasn't at home, you could watch it when you get home. Or you might have liked that episode, so you recorded it just so you can rewatch it. Well, that's the same thing with our lives. He's given us a spiritual DVR. When we go through faced with our problems, that songwriter said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, when you go back and think about the things that you've been through, you're going through your spiritual DVR and looking at the things that God has brought you over. You can go back and reflect on the things that God has brought you over, your favorite episode of your spiritual DVR. Oh, God brought me through that. Oh, God brought me through. I forgot about that one. Oh, I forgot about that time I was depressed. I forgot about that time I was down and out and I didn't know where the money was going to come from, and the Lord made a way. Those are the things that we need to think about. That's why he gives us tests and trials. That's one of the reasons why he gives us tests and trials. That helps. Like I said earlier, we go through problems for two reasons, for ourselves and other people. That's for ourselves. Mm-hmm. That's for ourselves. We have a spiritual DVR in our minds to reflect back on what God has brought us out of, to show, okay. And it also lets us know that God is able to have faith in him. If God brought you out of this, God can bring you out of that. If God brought you out of that before, he can bring you out of it again. That's what it is. That's why we can say this too shall pass from you. Why am I going through? You don't need to ask why. And sometimes, well, I'll take that back. Maybe sometimes you do need to ask why. Just to get an understanding. If you ask, there's a difference between asking why and asking why. And you might say, well, what do you mean by, what do you mean there's a difference between asking why and asking why? Minister Tucker, you just repeated yourself. No, I didn't. No, I did not. Might have sounded like I repeated myself. I didn't. There is a difference between asking why and asking why. What I mean by that is, in literally asking why, Lord, why am I going through this? Is this for me to know something about myself? Is it for me to be a witness for other people? Is it? That's generally asking why. And then there's another asking why of, oh, God, now I got to go through this again. Well, Lord, why am I going through this again? I don't need to go through this again. Why are you bringing this on me? Why are you complaining? That's the difference. The asking and the complaining, that's the difference. That's the difference. That's why I said there's a difference in asking why and asking why. You see the tone of my voice? That's the difference. Asking why and asking why. Why me? Or, Lord, I don't understand why I'm going through it. Maybe you could help me understand why I'm going through this. And the Lord may not, and I'm telling you something from experience. The Lord may not tell you in the midst of what you're going through why you're going through it. He might. He might tell you at the beginning. He might tell you in the middle. He might even tell you at the end. When I went through my heart problem, he told me at the end of it. And that's when it clicked. That's when the light bulb came on. I'm like, oh, okay, that's why I went through that. That next month, another person went through the same thing I went through. And I was there to show all God's glory. That's why I went through it. And that person came to me and said, I watched you go through it, and you never complained. And they said, Minister Tuggle, because you went through it and God brought you out, I know he's going to bring me out of this thing. That's why I said we go through it for other people. This too shall pass. You'll be able to, if you go through it as a strong soldier, if you go through that problem, if you go through that test, if you go, keep praying for that individual, keep fasting for that individual, keep speaking life over them, speak life over the issue. I'm telling you, especially if it's for somebody else. I'm telling you that you'll see results. Now, watch this. In these last few minutes, I'm going to show you something. You get results. There's two sets of results in problems. There's two sets of results. There's two sets of results. You might say, well, where do you get two sets of results from? There are two. You're going to get one or the other. But it matters on how you get those results. It matters on how you go through the test. Like I said, the reason on how asking why, Lord, and asking God why, those are two different whys, right? Amen? Well, you get the two different results. You get one or the other by how you handle the situation. About how you go through it. You can either get the result of being blessed, or you can get the result of going through the test again. Well, how do I get the result of being blessed? By going through it as a strong soldier. Well, how do I go through it? How do I get the result of going through it again? Complaining, worrying, doubting. Asking God, why am I going through this again, Lord? You know full well, please don't talk to the Lord like that. Please, please, y'all, please, let me help you. Because there are some people that will try to do that. There are some people, I've heard people sit over there and complain and complain and complain and complain, and they wonder why they ain't got their deliverance. And the Lord looking at you like, wait, hold on. Like, who are you talking to? Lord, you know you're supposed to deliver me. You said in your word that you were going to deliver me. You ain't delivered me yet. Why are you talking to the Lord like that? First of all, they crazy if you talking to the Lord like that, because you're liable to get struck. Talking to the Lord crazy, and there are some people that talk to the Lord crazy. Talk to the Lord. Any kind of way. That's not right. You talking to the Almighty any kind of way. That's just not right. You knew you're supposed to deliver me. You said in your word that you were going to deliver me, and you not delivering me yet. Well, you keep on complaining, you won't get delivered. You're going to have to go through the same testing, and you wonder why you ain't got delivered yet, because you're going through it again. Are you still going through it? And the Lord just standing there like, okay, well, my son, my child, my daughter, I'm going to allow you to go through it again. And let's see if you get it right this time. Let's see if you understand what I'm trying to tell you. And he allows you to go through it again. And you like, oh, I got to go through this again. And as soon as you start complaining, oh, well, come on back around here. You went through it, but you went through it the wrong way. Now you got to go through it again. Because God won't take, and the reason why the Lord does that is because he does not take us to higher levels that we're not ready for. It's just like going to school. And I got a couple minutes here. But it's just like going to school. It's just like going to school. The teacher does not give you a higher test if you can't pass the one that you're on. Amen? It's just like going to a new grade. The teacher's not going to pass you to go to I told my son my oldest son, he's in fifth grade. He's getting ready to go to middle school next year. I told him, if you don't do your work, you ain't going to middle school, because you're not ready. They're going to think you're not ready for it. Amen? But as long as you're doing your work and you're showing that you're able to do the work, you're able to be a sixth grader, then you'll move on to the sixth grade. Same thing with God. He has levels for us to go to. He has higher heights and deeper depths in him that he wants us to go to. But until we're ready for it, he won't put us in a place that we're not ready for. That's why. That's why we keep going through the same thing. Because we're not ready for it yet. You wonder why you ain't got that blessing yet. You're not ready for it yet. I'm not ready for it yet. I still keep on asking God why. I still keep on complaining. I still keep on. I don't want to wait. You keep on showing the same action. We keep on showing the same action that I don't want to wait. I'm going to help God out. So he allows you to go through it again. This too shall pass from you. If there's a stipulation, because God's got some blessings with stipulations on them. If you allow God to do what he does for you in your life, if you allow God to lead you in Jesus' name. I pray that you've gotten something out of this on today. My prayer going into the end of the year is that we all come into the full, not just the full knowledge, but the full body of Christ, that we use everything that God has given us to use in this time,
yeah,
in Jesus' name, so that God can bless us going into the new year. Because, hey, we don't know when the Lord's coming back. We know that he's coming, and he's coming soon. But we just don't know. Man does not know the day nor the hour when he shall appear. That's why the Bible says occupy until he comes. And we must occupy our time. We got souls out there that need to be saved. We got souls out there that need to be witnessed to. Get ready. And I'm saying this, and I'm not calling myself prophesying or nothing, but I'm saying to the saints of God, in these last couple minutes, get ready, because there's going to be a revival throughout this world. And at the end of 2021, I guarantee you, there's going to be a revival, and it's going to pour into next year. There's going to be a revival. And souls are going to start asking, what must I do to be saved? And we as people of God have to be ready to give them the answer. We have to get ready. Let's get right, church, and let's go home. Let's get right, church, and let's go home. I pray that you have been blessed by this topic on today. Make sure that you, those that are familiar with it, make sure you tune in this Monday to the Summit Internet Radio Podcast Show. You can find that podcast on Spotify, on Anchor, and on iHeartRadio. Make sure you tune into that, because we got a great topic for you. The topic of that is founded on Facebook. You can go to my Facebook page and look at that. The topic for that show is love and unity. Love and unity. Amen. So make sure you tune in to that. That's on Monday from 3 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. this Monday, in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. And as it states in Acts 2 and 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace. This is the only way to make it to heaven, in Jesus' name. God bless you. And if you're in the Indianapolis area, if you're in the Indianapolis area and you're looking for a church home, come to 2950 North High School Road over here at Triumph and Faith Apostolic Assembly, where our pastor, Pastor William A. Taylor III, is our pastor and founder, and our First Lady is First Lady Cosette Trotman Tuggle. They will love you. We will love you to life, y'all. We won't love you to death, but we'll love you to life in Jesus' name. So if you're looking for a church home, or if you're looking for a place to worship this Sunday, come on over to 2950 North High School Road and be with us in service in Jesus' name. To Bishop Cook, thank you for allowing us to come again in Jesus' name. We love you. And this is the Spirit Live Network. Make sure you tune in all week long, y'all, to the shows. We got some great shows for you this week. Amen. God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name. Man, I pray for you as you pray for me in Jesus' name. And as my grandmother always used to say, if you don't see me again, well, in this case, since we're on the radio, if you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture in Jesus' name. God bless you. And until next week, this is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network, the transformation station where we use the word of God to transform people's lives in Jesus' name. God bless you.